Hey listeners, it's Kat Krueger, your host and Dungeon Master for D20 Dames. I want to start by saying thanks for the reviews we've been getting on iTunes. It's really helpful to get those reviews for others to discover this podcast. We're currently making our way through the first few mini-adventures in a series called In Volo's Wake, which is available to play at home through the Dungeon Masters Guild. There, you can also find the one-shot adventure I wrote and ran a while back called Trouble at Tressendor Manor. Last time, Sildur Hallwinter's daughter went missing, and he tasked the dames with finding her in the Crooked Forest. Navarre had a sense of deja vu because some of the clues to the disappearance bore some striking similarities to the vision she had from the Raven Queen. We left off last time with the young warlock going head-to-head with one of the gnolls high up in the treetops on some scaffolding where several children are being held captive. Let's see how this all pans out. And so this one, because it you trip, it heard you. So it is going to come at you.
I don't care that he's seen me at this point because I want to blow him away. hopefully he gets some magic to the face. Ooh, 13.
The Eldritch Blast just misses him.
Oh, what? I can't. Navarre just hasn't seemed to land this yet.
Confidence.
Eventually.
Confidence, Navarre. Confidence.
Little baby warlock. All right.
I know what your downtime can be used for.
Yeah. She's super confident. She's all like, all right, he's seen me. Whatever. I got this. And she sticks her staff out and the crackling blue energy, you know, zooms around inside the gem and shoots out. But as you mentioned, it got right past him, and so once again she sheepishly pulls her staff toward her and is now thinking uh-oh as it runs toward her.
Yeah, it could be the sight of like this, you know, creature that has like blood dripping down its mouth, right? Yeah. That kind of like startled
pretty
you
terrifying.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
All right, so it hits for a 14, so it does.
Oh, no.
Hit you.
Yeah, that meets it.
It is, it's gonna bite down on you.
Ugh, gross. Ugh. Ew, gross.
And it bites down for 4 damage. Ugh,
this thing probably has like rabies or something. Navarre's like, her face is just like totally cringing and she's just like, oh, get it off me!
Alright, so it chomps down on you, and then it is the Gnoll Hunter's turn. And it is going to attack again with its spear. That is an 18 that hits Riot. This hits you for 6.
I don't like that at all.
No. These are not easy guys to get rid of.
Run away.
We just gotta get the children.
All right, and then it is Riot's turn.
Yeah, Riot's gonna go for him again. She is not happy with. She can hear the little rose in her head saying "run away." She's like, "Next turn." Okay, she's going again for the pierce into the bark of the tree. 19,
definitely hits.
Yes, it gets 10 damage.
Okay, and you're going for the main body again.
Oh, yeah, and I want to pin it there.
All right. How about you do a strength check, and we'll do a contest here.
Okay.
Against its strength. Oh. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. Give me 9.
You hear gnollish trumpets.
What do those sound like again?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a natural 20. Okay, you did not pin this gnoll down.
Okay, but the glaive is through him and in my hands.
Mm-hmm. And it's
correct.
Yes, and this hunter is not looking good. Like, he's on his last legs.
Yeah, Riot attacked, but she hasn't moved yet, correct?
Yeah, you can.
Yes, so she's going to walk him over. Or is that a strength, too? Yeah, it's probably strength, too.
Yeah.
Okay, she's just... yeah, maybe she's just going to then let the glaive slide out of him and start walking backwards.
Please check where you're walking backwards.
It is going to take an opportunity attack then. And because it's lost a lot of blood, it swings and misses. All right, Rose, excellent. It is your turn.
I see this horrendous gnoll bite down on my friend. And I am going to sprint to her side, attempt to tackle the gnoll and like roll it off her.
You want to push him off and maybe push him off the edge, right?
Yeah.
Let's do strength then.
Okay, and strength of 14.
And he failed the contest, so yeah, you push this flesh gnar off the ledge, and the trees, surprisingly or unsurprisingly, do not assist. When you kind of peer over the edge, you almost sort of see the trees like parting ways,
just like stepping out of the way.
Yeah,
only the sharpest of branches point upwards. Excellent.
Yeah, so it is going to take some bludgeoning damage as it falls down, so I'm going to do that now.
Navar turns to Rose and says, thanks, you're my hero. I did not want to become a snack.
No, that doesn't look good, by the way. Kind of pointing at your bite.
Yeah, Navar looks at it too, and she's super grossed out. She's like doing the like I threw up in my mouth a little face.
So you see the gnoll flesh gnar fall down to the ground, and thump goes down, and it is pretty injured, but it's not okay. Completely down.
But it seems unlikely it's going to come up immediately. Okay.
Right. It's going to take at least another turn for it to climb back up here, and the trees may or may not, help out. It is your turn, Navar.
Sweet. How far down?
The platforms are 20 feet above ground, so you're looking at 20 feet distance.
Cool. Let's try to hit him with some chill touch.
Do some All right.
Necrotic damage, hopefully, this time. Oh, yeah, that looks way better. 20.
It definitely hits him.
Woohoo.
Would that mean a necrotic damage?
No! Oh, no.
No, another pun. And not, yep. Try next time, listeners. Always next time. Take bets.
Check the bottom of the next cereal box.
All right. Yeah. So Navar points her staff her quarterstaff in his direction or its direction, and says, "You're not gonna make a snack out of me." And super cold, creepy hands reach down and strangle him and stiffen his body for a whole whopping 1 damage.
Oh. So the blood around its mouth kind of freezes a little.
It's the principle of the matter.
He's really cold.
Actually, you know what? Quoth's gonna die bombing.
Okay. for the 1 point of damage.
Exactly. Again, principle of the matter. Let's see. Oh, yeah. That is 21 to hit.
Definitely pecks him for 1 point of damage.
Right between the eyes.
Right between, yeah, and that, favorite spot. That tiny little bit of blood pools in there again.
I'll have him back up, whatever the equivalent, I guess, of like a 5-foot step in the air. So we'll just do that. He can kind of keep an eye on him for me.
All right, but if it's disengaging, then the gnar gets an opportunity attack. What is Quas AC?
Well,
the Gnar is very confused by, you know, cold hands reached out from out of nowhere. His beard is, his blood beard is a little cold. This bird pecked him between the eyes, and he swings but misses. All right. And now it is the gnoll hunter's turn, and it is like not pleased with the amount of damage that Riot has done. But again, it's like bleeding out, so it it lunges and misses.
Riot kind of chuckles and holds up one of those fingers. I always seem to do this here in the forest.
What would you like to do?
I guess he's close enough to, yeah, attack, even though I was kind of walking backwards. We're on the bridge. I'm gonna swing at him with the glaive, but at the feet, and try to, like, cut him and push him off the bridge, or use a momentum.
Okay.
Ha-ha! 19 again.
All right, so you're trying to push him, and he's trying to push back, and he falls. And again, as you're peering down, the trees just part ways and allow him to fall. And let's see how much damage that does. And that, he just like splats to the ground. And there's just a mess of fur and bones, and he's dead.
Right to herself goes, don't need to package up those leftovers. And she will then take her move turn to go south towards the cage. But I guess it's only like mid-bridge to it.
And Rose, it's your turn.
I'm going to walk up to the cage that's on this platform because we didn't release the poor child last time. and do the same thing of awkwardly comforting the child. And what's your name?
This one's a little boy, and he says, it's Ned.
Hi, Ned. I'm gonna ask you to go over here with my tree friend, and he's gonna keep you safe while we get the other two friends.
Wait,
okay?
There are gnolls on the ground now.
He's gonna keep you up in the tree, safe, and we'll come get you. But I want to make sure you're not here if that scary gnoll over there runs at us.
He nods very eagerly. Yeah.
Give me a high five.
Gives you a tiny, like, little, like, half-hearted little palm, and he's just like crying.
You've got this, Ned. You've got this. Ooh, I know what I do. I grab try to shake loose one of the bones that's on the cage, like a femur or something.
Okay.
And I say, here, use this in case anything tries to attack you.
Something's gonna attack.
And so we can be brave. And Rose can be adventurous.
How about you?
Rose has pretty good
do persuasion.
Pretty good,
charisma is in fact
it's off the charts. That's why she's like the diplomat here.
No,
I guess he's seen a lot of disgusting, terrible stuff recently.
Yes.
Oh, thank God. 18.
Ooh.
All right, so he wipes his tears a little, and he just nods, and he's like, okay, I'll be brave.
You got this. Aww. You have got this. You've done so well so far.
Come back fast, okay?
We will. We've got two more of your friends to get.
Okay.
What are their names?
Sasha and Alana.
Okay, we'll go get them.
Okay, and then he just like steps into the trees and sort of gets enveloped by the trees
and
disappears.
Take him to Grace. Thank you, trees. I really hope we can trust you.
Seems like it. Seems legit.
Yeah.
What else would you like to do?
I'm gonna wait to run across, but what I want to do is I'm gonna shake loose another bone and see if I can throw it across the span of this bridge and try to make it clatter and distract the gnoll in a different direction so that he doesn't see Navarre coming.
Oh, okay, like into the trees.
Yeah, I'm trying to misdirect.
Okay, I think you can just, you know, you hurl it into the tree line, and one of the branches kind of like grabs it and
shakes it like a maraca.
It makes it makes a whole lot of noise in a completely different direction.
Sweet.
Nice.
So Navarre, what would you like to do?
I'll try to stealth across again. Hopefully I'll roll better this time. Okay. But yeah, I'm heading to the southernmost platform. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. How?
Wait, were you rolling to walk?
I apparently was rolling to faceplant. However, critical fail again.
However, the trees are gonna give you, yes.
Okay, she blows him a little air kiss. That's better. Let's see here. I got a 14.
All right, you are able to quietly make your way across. The trees are providing an ample distraction for you. You've sort of lost your footing a little bit there, but one of the branches sort of like caught you and helped you on. And so you're able to cross over there. What would you like to do while the gnoll is kind of looking around? And this is one of the skeletal witherling gnolls again.
She kind of takes like a very quiet deep breath and centers herself. And she's like, all right, got this. And she holds her quarterstaff out and tries to do Eldritch Blast again.
All right.
Here it goes.
Got it.
Oh, come on.
You need a new die.
7.
Was the staff pointed at yourself?
Oops, it was backwards.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's just like this blast that kind of goes through the trees and nothing happens. It shoots over the knoll, maybe because he's a skeleton. He kind of missed, like, there's no fleshy parts to connect to.
Great. Okay, well, I do like the idea that maybe she held it backwards and so it shot in the opposite direction behind her. And I'm also going to call Quoth. Actually, no, I'm going to have him just fly up a little higher so that he's safer, but I still want him to watch that creepy zombie one.
Okay, so the Fleshnar is trying to make his way up again, and I'm going to just roll here to see if he makes it. He's still not able to, and all you hear is like this ferocious like snarling from down below. And again, Navarre, that's that noise that you remember from the dream. It's like, it's like snarling laughter all mixed together in a really creepy sort of hyena way.
Okay, Navarre just kind of shudders as a chill kind of runs down her spine.
Gnoll Hunter is dead.
And yeah.
Riot, it is your turn.
Great. I'm walking the half bridge to the middle cage. And I'm assuming there's a witherling there, right?
There is a witherling right there. Yeah. So there's
cool.
There's two more witherlings left next to each of the cages on each of the scaffolds.
Yeah. I'm going to go at him with my glaive because unfortunately I don't have any other weapons that seem pretty appropriate for something with no flesh.
Use it like a bat. Including
any of my spells. Yeah, no, I'm going to just go sweep for the legs.
a very karate kid of you.
A 21.
Nice. So you definitely sweep it off its feet. And
it's a very romantic way.
Yes.
I call it the Sildar special.
All right, do your damage.
4.
All right. Yeah, it's knocked. How about you do a strength roll and see if it actually gets knocked off of its feet since you rolled so high.
Ten.
It manages to stay standing, but you've hit it, and it's a bit shaken. And now
it's a bit shaken. Its mother-in-law just called.
And now it is the witherling's turn that is on the platform with Navarre. It was looking around in the trees, distracted, but then that blast of electricity went by it, and so it turns around and looks at you with its, like, hollowed-out eyes and tries to attack you. with its club, but misses.
Navarre does a sweet, like, limbo, like, matrix move.
Do you now?
Yeah, interesting choice of adjectives.
You think they have limbo in the matrix?
I'm mostly thinking about your current luck with walking.
Yeah. I can still bend my spine.
All right, Rose, it is your turn.
Rose is going to sprint across and engage in battle with the witherling that Navarre is dealing with, and give a good two-handed bat swing with her quarterstaff.
All right, do your attack.
Deal my damage. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
That is going to be math. Math is 14.
That connects with the skeletal bones.
For 5 points of damage.
All right. So again, it's like it's shaken, but it's not completely
not stirred. Ooh, we should try to stir it next.
All right, Navarre, what would you like to do?
She hasn't had very good luck with her Eldritch Blast, so she's gonna try something else.
But maybe third time's a charm.
Says the DM.
She's gonna try her Witch Bolt instead. So she's like, all right, fine. Focus on something else. Let's try Witch Bolt. Oh, that is much better. All right. So 23.
Absolutely.
It comes out, she has like a milky aqua bluish crystal at the end of the top of her quarterstaff. So that kind of begins to glow and sparks begin to dance inside there. And then a beam of crackling blue energy lances out toward this witherling and blasts it right in the face for... Oh, wait, this one's a D12. Oh, snaps.
Ooh.
Hold on. Oh, snap. 11 damage.
And as that bolt flies into the skeleton, it just completely falls apart, and it is down.
Yeah. A huge grin comes across Navarre's face, and her chest kind of puffs up a little bit, and she holds her staff up next to her, and she's like, ooh, yeah.
All right, so the Fleshnar is, again, trying to make his way up. And, again, fails because of the trees. And now it is the Gnoll Witherling's turn that is on Riot. Does not hit.
Haha.
So, Riot, it's your turn.
Riot just kind of, like, smacks herself in the forehead. Darling, I can't believe it. We talk, we fight, we never go out anymore. And she flaps her wings and picks up the gnoll and goes, let me take you out. And flies out and over and drops him, if she's allowed to.
I'm going to say yes, but I think maybe the gnoll is going to try something.
Yeah.
He's going to try swinging at you with like a claw or something.
Mm-hmm.
And see if that connects. A natural one. So it is completely surprised that there is a winged tiefling in its midst. And you pick up the gnoll and drop him. And I will deal that damage. So you drop him from, I'm assuming it's going to be like at least 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it just he just shatters onto the ground.
Tough breakup.
He didn't see it coming.
All right, so what we have going on now is we only have the flesh gnar that's trying to make his way back up and really not doing well because of the trees. And you've got the two other kids in the cages right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So we let them out.
Yeah. We make haste at letting them out with those disgusting rotted strings on the cages.
Now, how are you going to get down? Because the entire western side, you'll remember there's still a whole bunch of gnoll hunters there. Mm-hmm. And then yes. on the very, very east, there's that one flesh gnar that's trying to get back up.
I would like to give the kids to the trees and then us try to climb down the trees.
Okay.
On the south side?
South side, but maybe also where I am. So, like, we can hide behind those little trees that aren't attached.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Down in the southern, like, grove there.
Yeah.
So you can climb down. The trees do, again, sort of assist you on your way down.
Thank you much.
By the time you get down there, you see the other children.
Yay. Good job, trees.
Yeah, we all pat the trees' bark.
When we've regathered all the children together, Rose is going to ask one of the trees, do you happen to know a bud sapling by chance?
Red bud. Tinus red bud, maybe.
They, you sort of see what you think is our thumbs up.
It's harder to tell when they're actual branches.
Yeah, exactly. But as you're trying to communicate with them, something else comes down from the trees, and it's a sack.
Okay.
Oh, no. My God.
Rose counts the four children again. Like, one, two.
Yeah, how big is this sack? Like a rucksack or like a giant potato sack?
I mean, it's not giant, but it's a sizable sack.
Right, it's going to grab it and open it, terrified of what she might see.
Inside, you see some bolts of cloth, coins, there's a golden ring, and 25 gold pieces.
Oh my God, I thought this was going to be blood. Oh my God. This is so much better.
That would have gone really dark, really bad. Just hand you the corpse of their fallen friend.
Yeah, they point it up.
Okay, sweet. Bolt of cloth. Does this cloth look familiar in any way, or like, is it the same cloth the kids are wearing?
It just seems
yeah. It's the that it's the fanciest.
Like, make a great outfit.
Yeah,
I'm good.
It seems pretty random. Like maybe the gnolls took it off some merchants or something that are going through here. Like,
it's the fanciest calico of Faerun right now. Okay, it's like it's calico and high fives, right? Like.
Yeah, so it's just like random loot that the gnolls had on one of the platforms, and
no,
I like it.
That's it's super
like a,
sweet.
It's like a child handing you their treasures, like a Pokemon card, a bottle cap, yeah. 5 pennies.
No, seriously, and a gun. No, seriously, like something Riot. Like dibs on the fabric.
Oh, wait, it's God. I'm just glad it's not bud.
Yeah.
Although he could have come in handy in that form.
Well, thank you very much, trees.
Yeah. So I assume we're going to try to make a quiet exit too, because there's still a
That guy trying to.
Yeah.
So if you want to, do you want to just head off now as quietly as you can?
Yes.
Yeah.
Corral all right. The children.
GTFO. I wanted to ask them along the way how they managed to end up in the Crooked Forest in the first place.
They're not particularly talkative. You know, you can eventually piece together that one of the three that Elena went for went after thought it was a really cool idea, because all these adventurers were coming through town looking for all the monsters that Volo had outlined in his book. So they figured that they could run off and be adventurers. And then they met, you know, they thought it was just all stories. And then they met these horrible gnoll creatures. And then when they didn't meet with Elena when they were supposed to, she pieced it all together and went after them.
Wow.
Navarre tells them, see, the world's a scary place. Stay in school, kids.
And Elena is the one that's got all the ribbons in her hair, and she's sort of like playing with the ribbons. Left. Yeah, she's got like one or two left, and they're all very brightly colored.
Good call on the ribbons.
Thanks.
Should really stock back up just in case.
We got one back. Oh no, this one.
It's covered in blood.
It's covered in blood. Rose yanks it back before can really get a good look at it.
Oh yeah, actually, that's a good point. Are any of them injured?
They seem like they're actually okay. Like the gnolls didn't actually get them. But Navarre, okay. As Rose is pulling that
waving
ribbon,
a bloody ribbon in front of the child's face,
as she's pulling the ribbon away, it's become so dark with blood at this point that it looks black. And it reminds you of the black ribbon that was tied around the feather that you had in your hand after the dream.
Okay, she sees it, and she kind of, like, shakes her head a little bit, and she's just sort of quietly says to herself, but out loud, like, this is really weird. It's like my dream came true.
Come again?
I don't know. I'm just having, like, deja vu moments, I guess. I'm not really sure. I'm still piecing it together, but I had a weird dream where the kids were playing in the forest, and then that awful cackling that those creatures made, it sounded familiar. Like, I dreamt about that. Still piecing it together. I don't really know. And that ribbon, I woke up with a feather in my hand. This probably just sounds like babbling.
Navarre, this sounds like a great story over a pint of mead. I don't know. If that's something that you like.
Oh, you know I will take you up on that.
Yeah, so the kids are, they're definitely like traumatized by the whole ordeal. Seeing those skeletal, snarling, creepy things. Who knows what else they saw, because, you know, there was blood on one of them, on one of the gnolls. So they're really pretty quiet. And you're going through the forest, and as you're going through, you realize the path has changed again.
No.
Don't panic.
As the trees are sort of like wending around and whatever, it opens up to a clearing, and there's Bud.
All right.
Bud!
Hey, y'all.
Oh, Bud, it's so good to see you.
Well, it's awful nice to see you. Did you find Mr. Fancy Pants?
We did.
Oh, we sure did. And one piece, too. Imagine that.
Oh, I always imagined, you know, you flashy things come in one piece. Who are these little ones? Are these little saplings?
Kind of.
The type, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are some cool friends that had a great, great camping trip. trying to keep the whole story, you know,
on the deal. They're probably, like, shaking.
Yeah, yeah. hey, Bud. I was wondering, was there, like, a piece of your friend that we, you know, helped save last time that fell off, like a branch that I could have?
This is Rose's incredulous face.
Oh, you mean Rod here? No, he's wholly intact. He got some slashes from them blights, but, I mean, you sure did a number on them.
Navarre wants to say in Sylvan to Rod, hey, how you feeling?
He just kind of like nods, but he's not much of a talker.
The strong silent type, I see.
So,
is there any reason in particular? You looking for some more loot, maybe?
Well, kind of. I need to replace my bow that got lost, and I'm sorry to say, but you guys make the finest bows.
I suppose we do. I mean,
awkward.
Some of us are kind of magical. I mean, I ain't. Looks a little sad. Oh, I mean, maybe one.
Oh no, That's why I asked for, like, a piece that fell off. You know, I don't want to hurt anybody.
Oh, I see. Well, sure. I mean, you know, we tree ants are, you know, we give back to the earth once our time is done. So there's no harm in harvesting what don't have life in it no more. Well, I can tell you there's a copse of blue leaf. And there is a guardian fell down there, name of Tavernier. And that happened aeons ago, before my time.
Ooh, so it's gonna be a nice hardwood at this point. All right.
Yeah. I hear blue leaf. You know, rumor is get a druid or Volodny craftsfolk. Make some armor, weapon out of it. And one of them folk can magically treat blue leaf, turn it hard as steel, so it weighs half as much.
Oh wow! But you're the most helpful person I've come across ever.
Well, gosh, that's awfully nice of you. I don't know if you're coming through here again, or it'll take quite a hike to get there. But I can give you some directions on where to find the blue leaf copse, and I'll send word that that you're looking for a piece, so they don't, you know, do you no harm.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
I do have some particular requests when you're gonna harvest something. I don't know if you got time for the instructions now, but you can, if you do, I can tell you.
Sure. Riot pulls out her book, kind of looks at the others like, sorry.
Ranger can wait.
All right, I'm ready, bud.
And as they're having this conversation, Rose and Navarre, the kids that you just saved are still very, very clearly shaken. They're just anxiously, like, looking around, and any sort of minor noise that sounds in the forest, they kind of freak out about.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys. How you doing?
They're just, like, basically trying to hold it together, I think. They're huddled together and just looking around. Their eyes are just darting around the forest.
Since the conversation with Ryan and Bud seems like it might be a little long-winded, and Navarre's pretty tall, so she's going to go ahead and just kind of gently kneel down next to them so that she's more on their level.
Oh, good, you're my height now.
And she'll just say, yeah, the forest ain't what it used to be, huh? It's kind of got some spookies in there. Sorry. Sorry y'all had to see that, but glad you're okay.
They're taking you in, and Alana in particular just is sort of like staring at you, and you can tell that she's like taking in like all of you, you know, head to toe, and there's like this realization that sort of dawns on her, and she says, "I shouldn't have worn such bright colors. They wouldn't have seen me." And then
no,
she just sort of draws herself into her knees and just curls up and starts sniffling.
Aw, Navarre kind of pats her gently on the shoulder and says, "Hey, don't look at it that way. If it weren't for your bright ribbons, we never would have known where to find you."
Mm-hmm. She's right.
But I wasn't brave enough to save my friends, and you were brave enough. And she just, like, starts bawling her eyes out, and she's really, like, pretty much inconsolable. And then the other kids start you see like it's starting like in a chain effect, basically.
No, no, no.
Hey, look, a squirrel.
Navarre just kind of tries to console them by reassuring them, like, hey, sometimes we get in over our heads, and you know, like you weren't expecting that, and you know, we're adventurers, but I mean, even I, you know, haven't been adventuring that long. We all got to start somewhere, so you know, don't feel bad. I'm just glad that you know you were smart enough to leave a trail of ribbons so that we could find you. I mean, that's some quick thinking there, Alana. And she kind of gently tugs on one of her ribbons playfully.
Do you want to do a, you know, like a charisma persuasion check?
Persuasion? Sure. That is a 20, but not natural.
Awesome. So she composes herself. The other kids are still shaken, but because you're sort of like one-on-one with her, she calms down, and you know, she wipes the tears from her eyes, and she's all snotty and everything, but she's just like nodding and just taking deep breaths to sort of to calm herself down again. One day I'll be a better adventurer, like, you know, like dad fought off monsters, and maybe one day I will too. Just like you.
Definitely. It's a good goal. Yeah, it also takes a lot of planning.
Yeah, maybe one day. You know, and that's a good goal to have, but and she just kind of looks at them all and smiles softly, and she says, but don't forget to be a kid, you know? Like, there'll be plenty of time to go out and fight monsters and protect your friends, you know, but while you can, just be a kid, but keep your head on straight, okay? Like, as you've now seen, the forest is scary around here, so, you know, just be careful.
One of the kids, Grace, she's just gonna scream a little and just say, like, keep our heads on, that's what we were scared of, and then she just starts crying again.
But you know what, Grace, I was scared too. I've never seen one of I don't even know what those things were. I've never seen those before.
But you were scared. They were you saved me. So you creepy. Saved me.
And you know how I did that? Part of it was I was scared, but I've been taught to take a moment, take a deep breath, and put that fear off to the side and use it like wood in a fire. Like, it moves me forward, but it doesn't take over.
You've caught Ned's attention in particular, because he's the kid that you gave the little bone weapon to.
Mm-hmm. Does he still have it?
He still has it clutched in his hand. Aww. And he's just, like, really invested in what you're saying, because you were able to calm him down on the platform there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, how do you do it?
If you want, I see a nice sunny patch of grass over there. We could go sit down in the bright light, and I could teach you guys a quick meditation.
Navarre's face cringes a little, but she tries to not make it noticeable whenever you point out the sunny patch.
You're not a vampire.
No, I don't like the sun.
Well, you can sit in the shady edge.
Ned is very eager to go, and you're able to convince the girls for the most part. Elena, though, sort of, she sees that Navarre isn't really participating, so she kind of, like, hangs back in the shadow. But, yeah, if you want to teach the kids how to meditate, okay. I will just do a constitution saving throw for each of the kids to overcome the fears that they've got right now.
While she's doing that, I'm gonna, I see that Alana stayed back with me, so Navarre kinda, takes a seat, up against a tree and pats the ground next to her, so that Alana can sit. And then she starts plucking really long blades of grass. She hands a few to Alana, and then she plucks a few for herself. And then she shows Alana how to start braiding and weaving them into a bracelet with some little flowers that are a little purple, like bluebell-looking flowers that are growing nearby.
Cute. Aww. Yeah. So you guys are out of earshot of us, or
I imagine. Well, we're as close as we can be while still being in the shade.
Yes.
So you know, we don't want to seem like we're being alienated or anything, but
sure,
we don't want to be in the
sunshine. Sure. I understand.
I have my SPF 500 with me.
I see how I understand Alana's suddenly disliking bright colors, so the sun would only make her brighter. Especially with the shiny satin, I assume she's wearing.
Yes. Yeah. So the Alana's a natural at this. This is like her jam, basically, you know, doing stuff like this. So she's really appreciating it taking her mind off of her fears. Now, with the kids who are with Rose, both Ned and Sasha saved, but Grace unfortunately didn't. So she's still really shaky, but okay. You know, I think if you try over a period of time, you might be able to get her to calm down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna sit down in the sun, cross my legs, and Ned, Sasha, Grace, if you guys want to sit down and cross your legs like I have, and I kind of pat the ground next to my left and wave for Grace to sit like right next to me, because I can still see that she's shaking.
So she basically comes over and like she leans and keeps leaning, and then her face is basically in your shoulder, and they're like, you can feel the tears like kind of going through your sleeve.
My heart.
I pat her on the top of the head and don't say anything directly at her quite yet, kind of hoping she'll separate as we move along with this. Okay, so we're gonna start sitting as straight up as we can, kind of with your little sit bones under you, and you can go ahead and close your eyes. Don't worry, I'll keep my eyes open and watch around so you guys are safe. I want you to imagine, well, we are actually sitting in a forest grove. Imagine that you're sitting, your back straight up against a tree. That'll kind of help you stay straight. And while you're doing this, take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. How are they doing?
You have managed to calm Grace down.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yay. Yeah, so she's disengaged. Your sleeve is kind of like wetly stuck damn to your arm there.
That's
but
okay.
she's doing exactly this whole yogic sort of breathing and meditating, and yeah, it seems like she's definitely more in line with the rest of the kids now.
Okay. So while you guys are doing this, I want you to picture a flower that starts growing from a little patch of dirt in the ground and keeps growing up to the sky. And that way, if your mind starts to wander and you start to think about anything else, whether it's your school class work or something you saw in the forest, just bring your mind back to that flower, because it's not going to be able to grow to the sky without you. And aww, keep breathing.
Ned says, "I'm picturing a rose." And then and then Sasha says, "Same here." And then Grace says, "Yeah, me too." And I think we can safely say that the kids have been calmed down enough that you can collect them and head back into town. And Riot and Bud are probably wrapping up their conversation at this point.
And they meditated long enough for Navarre to make a woven strand with little purpley blue flowers throughout it, long enough to make a little flower crown for Alana, and she places it on Alana's head as they walk away.
Aww.
Alana made a bracelet for Navarre. She says it's a friendship bracelet.
Navarre definitely puts it on and says, "Thank you so much. I will definitely keep this. And even when it starts to wilt, I'll take it off so that it dries and then will be preserved for even longer."
I'm fairly certain one of us can figure out some kind of spell or incantation or something to make it.
Maybe when Navarre's not such a babby warlock. All right, children. She gathers, Navarre gathers them with their arms and kind of shuffles them in the direction which is hopefully toward Halfway Tavern.
So you head towards the opening that the trees have made for you. And as it's as the forest is sort of closing around and wending around and changing direction, there's you catch a brief glimpse of a copse of young saplings, and they're giggling and they're just like "Nee!" And you overhear one of them say "Rosebud," and then they're promptly hushed.
Rose like slowly turns and looks in their direction and then slowly turns back and just nods, waves a bud, and just continues on.
Have they been reading the popular gossip magazine Tree Beat?
Bud is just like, so like he's got his little bud filled hands covering his face, just like
he's face palming himself.
Just like embarrassed. if a tree and sapling can be embarrassed, that's what that would be.
His little flower buds grow redder.
Yes.
As he blushes.
All right, so you are able to safely bring the children back through Halfway and then into Phandalin. How are you going to get into town with the kids? By the time you get into town, it's probably dusk at this point.
I'm going to hand my rucksack over to Alana to make it look like they had gone camping.
Okay.
Nice. And that we just bumped into them on the road back from Halfway.
All right.
Does anyone see us that we have to lie to?
let me roll to see. I need all of you to do a dexterity.
Anyone sees us?
Yeah.
Okay.
8.
So
16. 15. No, 18. I can count.
What did you get, Navarre?
15.
All right. So it's a group stealth check. So you safely go into town and nobody really notices anything.
Nice.
So Sildar is just thrilled to see his daughter, and he just wraps her up in his arms, and you can see almost like tears in his eyes because he could have lost her. He doesn't want to know the details right away.
Yeah, we'll just let them have their family moment and discuss logistics later. Just back away slowly, but giving him a knowing nod.
And he looks over at you and just like smiles and just like, you know, gives you a wave. Hey, thanks for listening. It's Kat again. We really hope you're enjoying the adventures so far. I've got some more original content coming up once we wrap up another mini-adventure from Involo's Wake. For now, I want to give a shout-out to @NathanEBailey, who says, "Great episode 6 of D20 Dames. Really love the brothers' names and both the story and the laughs from the PCs. Really good cast. Can't wait to see what happens next." And Anti-Tectonic gave us a follow Friday and said, "I noticed that a ton of my RPG listening is women. Cool." Well, thanks to both of you for the wonderful feedback. We don't do a ton of advertising, so your word of mouth really helps us immensely. We love hearing from our listeners. You can find all our social media links at d20dames.com. That's it for now. Until next time, misadventure awaits.
D20 Dames is a production of Misadventure Awaits. Music by Middle Essence. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/d20dames. What's a Patreon? What's a Middle Essence? What's a production?